In the lessons that I've been presenting over the last couple of months, since the beginning of the year, we've been looking at the subject of Jesus as the master teacher, and we've seen some of the different ways that Jesus taught lessons, sometimes even as we've observed, without really teaching in the sense that we normally think of things. But in addition to the different methods and manners that Jesus used to teach, there were certain subjects that he came back to frequently. Now, we would recognize that because Jesus is the Word of God, something that he said only once is supremely important. But we should probably get the idea that if he talked about something a lot, it was probably really, really important. And therefore, we probably ought to give even more attention to that particular subject, since it was something that he addressed on a frequent basis. We're going to look this morning at one of those subjects that Jesus addressed frequently. And in particular, we're going to look at one passage of Scripture where he dealt with this subject in several different ways. We're not going to look at the entire passage for the sake of time, but we're going to pick out some points from this particular passage, which, if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. We'll have the texts that we're going to look at up on the screen, but if you want to look in your Bible and sort of have that in front of you, Matthew chapter 23 is where we're going to be this morning. Jesus deals in this 23rd chapter of Matthew with the subject of hypocrisy. And this is a subject that Jesus dealt with a lot. Now, we might want to ask the question, what does that mean? What is hypocrisy? It's not a word that we may use in everyday conversation. But if you look it up in the dictionary, hypocrisy means this. It means feigning to be what one is not, or to believe what one does not. Behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel, especially the false assumption of an appearance of virtue or religion. And this word hypocrisy comes to us in English as a transliteration from a Greek word, hypocrisis, which is playing a part on the stage, pretending to be something one is not, literally, to wear a false face or mask. Now, in ancient Greece, where they had a thriving culture of theater, they had these great amphitheaters where people would come and hear orators speak, and also to watch plays being performed. And because of the distance between the audience and the performers, it was hard to see people's faces, and they didn't have the benefit of the Jumbotron screen, and they didn't have the benefit of the PA system in order for people to be able to see and hear more clearly in the way that we might today if we went to see some kind of a performance. So what actors did in these ancient Greek theaters is that they had masks that had exaggerated expressions, and they would hold the mask up in front of their face so that people even in the back row could see, okay, he's angry now, or okay, he's sad now, or okay, he's happy now. Something that they might not be able to see if they were just trying to squint and look down at the very tiny face of the actor on the stage many, many rows away. But they would be able to see this huge mask that the actor was holding up in front of them. And the word for that style of performance is hypocrisis. And so we have taken that word in English and made it an English word that sort of means the same kind of thing. It's where we take a false face, as it were, and put that up in front of us in order for people to see one thing when in fact something entirely different might be going on behind that mask. And that's what Jesus is addressing when he talks about hypocrisy. First of all, in the very beginning of Matthew chapter 23, notice what Jesus says in the first four verses. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." Notice this first thing that Jesus says. He says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and we've talked in previous lessons about who the Pharisees were. They were the sort of one of the two leading factions among the Jewish religious leadership. They would have been considered the more conservative of the two factions. The Sadducees would have been considered what we might think of, using modern terminology, the more liberal perspective on religious practice. But the Pharisees were very conservative, very strict in their practice of things. They were people that people looked to as examples of what it meant to be religious. And so Jesus says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. In other words, Moses was the lawgiver. And these are the people that you will look to see what the law says. These are the people who have been given the responsibility of showing you God's law and how you're supposed to live it. And therefore, Jesus says, you should do everything they tell you, because the things that they tell you are from God's law. But notice the next thing that Jesus says. Don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. The things that they teach you, Jesus said, are correct. You should do all of those things. But what you shouldn't do is follow their example, because they're not doing the things that they're telling you you should do. And in fact, Jesus says, what they do, in fact, is they've created this huge load out of the law. And they've put that on you. But they aren't willing to do anything to help you with it. They aren't willing to do anything to help you deal with this load that they've placed on your shoulders. And the reason for that is because they are saying, here's how you ought to live. Here's how you ought to be. This is the kind of person you ought to be as an Israelite, as a Jewish person. But in fact, they aren't being the kind of person that they're telling you that you have to be. So there's the first thing that Jesus warns about. He goes on to say everything that they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seat in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi or teacher by others. Jesus said the reason that they don't do what they tell you that you should do is because they're more interested in how they look rather than how they really are. They are more interested in how people perceive them as godly people than they are in actually being godly people. And so Jesus gives some examples of this. He says, they make their phylacteries wide. Now, phylactery, and you can see the gentleman here in the photograph here who's wearing a phylactery on his forehead. Phylacteries were these little containers in which they would place a scroll that had the Ten Commandments written on it. And the reason for this practice goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses presents the Ten Commandments for the second time. And he says that you should take the word of God and you should bind it on your head and you should bind it on your hand so that it's always before you. And the Pharisees took that literally. It was another example of the, you remember the thing that we talked about a few weeks ago, where they took letter of the law and didn't really understand what the spirit of it was supposed to communicate. Here was another example of that. Because God's intention was not really literally take the law and paste it on your forehead. What he really wanted them to understand was embed the law in your mind. And not really to tie it to your hands, but let your hands be guided in all things by the law of God. But the practice was that they made these phylacteries. They made these little boxes, and they put the scroll on inside that had the Ten Commandments written on it. And in order for people to really see how religious they were, Jesus said, the Pharisees of his day made those phylacteries very wide. You see the gentleman in the picture, his phylactery is very small. In fact, if you weren't really paying very close attention to him, you might not even notice it was there. But the Pharisees had this practice of making these big, huge ones that covered the entire expanse of their brow so that people couldn't miss the fact, oh, look, he's walking around with God's law on his forehead. So that people couldn't miss that this is a religious person right here. And Jesus said they made the tassels on their garments long. You see, the gentleman here is wearing a prayer shawl with tassels on it. Now, in ancient times, in the time Jesus was living, these prayer shawls with the tassels on it would be worn, and you would wear your regular garment, your cloak, over that. And under normal circumstances, your cloak would cover that. The only person that knew that you had that on was you. But the Pharisees, in order for people to know how religious they were, would make very, very long tassels on their prayer shawls so that it hung out below the bottom of the cloak so that everybody would see, oh, look, he's wearing a prayer shawl. He must be really religious. And so this is why Jesus says everything they do is for people to see. They want people to look at them and say, oh, there's a really religious person right there. And they also took advantage of that, he says, by taking the important place of honor at a banquet, sitting in the most important seat at the synagogue, having people address them in public as rabbi or teacher. They loved that kind of thing. But what Jesus is saying is all they're doing is making a display of their religion. And there's a difference between being religious and looking religious. The Pharisees were more concerned with looking religious than they were in actually following the faith that God's word was intended to inspire. And Jesus is saying, don't follow that example. Don't be more worried about how people look at you than you are about how God sees you and about how you really are in relationship to God. Because Jesus said, you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said, don't let people call you teacher. You have one teacher. All of you are equal. None of you stands above the others. Even if you have the job of preaching and teaching, it doesn't make you better or different than anybody else. Jesus said, don't let anybody call you father. God is your father. Don't take his title and put it on you. Don't wear some special terminology that marks you as an instructor. The Messiah is your instructor. You know, I know that there have been many times over the course of the years when I was preaching and teaching on a more regular basis, and people would come to the worship, you know, and having had somebody identify me as the person who did the preaching or teaching, and they would come and they would, you know, introduce themselves, "Pastor, I am so-and-so." And I would always say, "My name's Michael. I don't need a title. You know, God is your father. Jesus is your shepherd. I'm just a guy that works for him." And that's who we all are. And that's an important thing that the Pharisees had missed. They saw the glory of being recognized as special. And they embraced that. They wore it like a badge of honor. And Jesus says, "That's not for you. That's not your glory. That's God's glory. That's not your honor. That's the honor of Him whom God has sent, His Messiah. Don't take that for yourself. That doesn't belong to you. Rather, you instead be a servant. You instead be humble. Because those who humble themselves will be exalted by God. But those who exalt themselves, God's going to humble." So in all of these things, Jesus is pointing out the hypocrisy of those who led the religious life of the people of his day. He's exposing that mask, that false face that they put on in order for other people to see them one way, when in fact they were something completely different, which he goes on to address beginning at verse 13. Now he turns to those teachers and Pharisees and says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees," and here's that word, "you hypocrites." He says, "You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Jesus had come into the world to open the doors to the kingdom of God. And here were people that were doing everything they could do to keep people from following him in. They didn't want to go, and they didn't want you to go either. And so they did everything that they could do to make Jesus look and sound bad, to condemn him in every way that they could, to prevent people from entering the kingdom that Jesus had come to usher in. And conversely, Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. But when you've succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." Jesus said, "You Pharisees, you teachers, you're doing everything you can to get people to follow in your footsteps. And you end up making them just as bad or worse than you are. Because you're showing them the wrong example. You're teaching them to be people of the surface and not people of the spirit. You're teaching them to be people of appearance rather than people of genuineness." And he condemns them for their hypocrisy. He uses that word. You're putting on a false face. You're wearing a mask like the actor in the theater. And you're encouraging other people by your example to be the way that you are. And again, in the 23rd verse, he continues, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. The Pharisees were so focused on the details of the law. And again, when we talked about Matthew chapter 5, all of those passages where Jesus said, well, you've heard that this was written, but here's what that really means. And he demonstrated how they had a very surface understanding of what God's law represented. That they took words literally that weren't intended to be understood that way and missed the bigger picture. And this is exactly what Jesus is condemning here. He says, you go to the law where it talks about giving a tenth of everything that you have to God, and so you go to the extreme on that, even going into your cupboard in the kitchen and measuring out very carefully a tenth of everything that's in there. The mint, the dill, the cumin, all the spices in your spice rack, you very carefully cut out that tenth portion to be dedicated to God. What about justice, he says? You miss that. What about mercy? You completely have ignored that. What about true, genuine faithfulness to God? You've blown that off. The big things that God's word was intended to teach you, you've ignored by focusing on things that Jesus said, yes, you should do that. If it's your understanding of the law that God wants a tenth of everything you have, then by all means, give him a tenth of everything in the spice rack. But don't miss the bigger picture. Don't miss the greater themes. Don't miss justice. Don't miss mercy. Don't miss faithfulness. He said you should do those other things, but don't miss the things that are more important. He said you're busy straining out gnats. We all have seen gnats, right? Those little flying bugs that make clouds in the summer. You walk through them and it's like, yeah. So you're busy straining out the gnats, but you're swallowing a camel. You're so focused on the tiny things that you miss the big things as the big things that are choking you. Again, a common theme that Jesus comes to again and again. He continues, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You hypocrites. Again, there's that word. You hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish. Then the outside will also be clean. You can just imagine going to somebody's house. They've invited you over for dinner. And you sit down at the table and you pick up your drinking glass and it's filthy on the inside. You'd be like, I don't want to drink out of that. And the host would say, yep, I washed the outside. Doesn't it look pretty? The Pharisees were so concerned with how they looked on the outside. They were very careful to wash the outside of the dish, meaning their person. They were very focused on looking clean on the outside. But what were they like on the inside? Jesus said they were full of greed and self-indulgence. They were everything the opposite of what they were supposed to be on the inside. Because they were putting so much effort in what they looked like on the outside. And Jesus said, you got that backward. Clean the inside first. And the outside will take care of itself. Because it's amazing when you do that. If you fix yourself on the inside, the outside things just happen. If you are the person of mind and heart that you should be, your actions are just naturally going to be right. Rather than focusing on making the actions right without reflecting on what's the motivation here? What am I really like? What's going on in my inward self? Once again, they're putting on the mask. They're committing hypocrisy, just like the actors in the theater. And Jesus continues, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous. But on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You see the tomb in the picture there. Looks nice, you know. It's old, but looks nice. But you wouldn't want to open that. You wouldn't want to see what's in there. Again, they were so focused on the exterior. So focused on what people could see that they completely ignored the things that were not visible, the things that couldn't be seen. They looked beautiful on the outside, but they were dead on the inside. They were well washed on the outside, but inside they were full of hypocrisy and wickedness. They were all of the things that they condemned while trying so hard to look like they weren't any of those things. This is a consistent theme, right? Time and again, Jesus comes back and again, he condemns this hypocrisy, condemns this focus on looking one way without really being that way. And as we read this, it's very easy to read this and think, man, those Pharisees were terrible people. Those teachers of the law were awful. They were faking it. Not until they made it, they were just plain faking it. They were pretenders. They were wearing a mask. They were false to everything they professed. What horrible people these were. But you know, here's the thing. I read this 23rd chapter of Matthew. And yeah, the first thing I want to do is condemn these people. But here's what I end up with. I'm a hypocrite too. Because sometimes I don't practice what I preach. Sometimes I say one thing and I do another. And when I do that, just like those Pharisees, I become an obstacle to the faith of other people. Because other people look at me and follow my example. And if I'm not living the way I should be, I'm dragging other people down. And I'm guilty of that. Not all the time. Lord help me, not most of the time perhaps. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm never guilty of that. Because sometimes I am. Sometimes, like those Pharisees, like those teachers of the law, I get more concerned with how I appear to other people than how I really am on the inside. Not all the time. Lord, help me, maybe not most of the time. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I don't ever do that, because I do. And sometimes, just like those Pharisees, those teachers of the law, those hypocrites that Jesus called out, sometimes I do the right things, but without the right motivation behind them. Sometimes I do good things because I want to look good, not because I really am good, or because I'm really focused on what is good. Not all the time. Lord, help me, maybe not most of the time. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you don't ever do that, because I do. Just like those teachers of the law, just like those Pharisees, there are times in my life, if I'm honest with myself, when I am every bit as hypocritical, when I am every bit as false-faced, when I am every bit as mask-wearing as these people that Jesus condemned. Now, here's an interesting thing. I'm in pretty good company. Because you know what? Peter was a hypocrite. Peter, the very Peter who in Acts chapter 10 goes to the house of a Gentile. You know, something that would have been abhorrent to a Jewish person of his time, went to the house of a Gentile, a man named Cornelius. Not just one Gentile, a whole house full of Gentiles. Had all kinds of Gentiles up in here. And Peter went there. And he proclaimed the gospel for the first time to people who were not of Jewish background. And he said, truly, I perceive that God does not show favoritism, but that all people from everywhere who do as he commands are acceptable to him. Those are Peter's words. And we read Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I had to call Peter out. Because Peter was a hypocrite. The same Peter that said, God does not show favoritism, was in a place where he was associating freely with Christians who were of Gentile heritage, Christians who were not Jews by birth. And yet, when some Jewish Christians came to visit, Peter pulled back from his Gentile brothers and sisters and just hung with the Jews. The very same Peter who said God does not treat people any differently, that same Peter treated people differently based on their heritage, based on their background, based on who they were. By birth. And Paul called him out on it. He said, I condemned Peter to his face because he stood condemned. Not just because of his own actions, but because by his example, others, including Barnabas, one of Paul's closest associates, followed Peter's example, did the very same thing Peter did. Peter's hypocrisy was not only destroying his own faith, but it was tearing down the faith of others by example. So yeah, I'm a hypocrite. Peter was too. And the very same Paul who called out Peter on his hypocrisy calls out himself in Romans chapter 7. Most of the seventh chapter of Romans is a dissertation by Paul talking about the fact that he didn't always do what he was supposed to do. Notice just these two verses, verses 18 and 19. He said, I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Is that you? It sure is me sometimes. Yep. That's me in that verse right there. I know what's right. I want to do right. But sometimes I just don't. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I do the very thing I know I shouldn't do. Or I fail to do the thing that I know that I should. And what I learned by this is not just me. It was Paul too. And what that leads me to suspect, I'm not going to call you out personally. I bet that's you too. It's all of us, isn't it? All of us fall into that pit, that trap of hypocrisy. All of us at times are guilty of not practicing the things that we affirm to be right. All of us are guilty of knowing what we should do, and maybe even of telling other people what they should do and not doing it ourselves. All of us, in those weak moments, are sometimes more concerned with how people see us from the outside than how God sees us who looks at the inside. All of us, sometimes in those weak moments, are guilty of doing the right thing, but not for the right reason. Doing the right thing because we want people to think well of us, and not because it's the right thing to do. That's a hard thing to admit, is it not? But if we're going to look at ourselves in the spiritual mirror and be honest, we've got to admit it's true. We're all hypocrites. Again, I can't really speak for you, but I've spoken for myself, and we've seen Peter address, and we've seen Paul speak for himself, and I'm guessing we're all pretty much in that same boat. So what do? Jesus calls us to break the mask of hypocrisy. Jesus wants us to be people who act in ways that are consistent with what we believe. If we know what's right, then we should do what's right. And if we know what's wrong, we should not do what's wrong. Not just say the right things and condemn the wrong things, but to actually do what's right. Not just on the outside, but from the inside out. Jesus wants us to be people who are more concerned with what we're like on the inside than what we look like to others on the outside. Because as we said earlier in the lesson, if we are right on the inside, we don't really have to worry about the outside. The outside will take care of itself. If I am the person that I should be in mind and in heart, my outward actions are just going to be right. But it's so much easier, isn't it, to focus on those outward things. it's much more easy to focus on, well, if I just do this, if I just say this, if I just act like this, those are easy fixes. That's tangible. We can get our arms around that. It's much harder to look at ourselves and say, how do I fix in here? How do I make this in here better? How do I straighten these things out? Because if I do that, then the actions, the outward signs, those will just happen. You know, when we look at the example of Jesus, we see all the good that he did. He never did good because he was trying to impress people. He never did good because he wanted people to think of him a certain way. He did good because he was good. The good things just happened. And that's the kind of people he wants us to be like. He calls us to be people whose actions are the product of right-thinking minds and honest hearts. And I will acknowledge and I will confess that that's the harder fix. That is the much harder approach. It's much easier to do what the Pharisees were doing and just look right on the outside. It's easier to paint the house than it is to remodel. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, we need to get out of the house painting business and get into the remodeling business. We need to be people who focus on the inside self and have the confidence that if we fix the inside self, the outside self's going to be okay. People will see what they should see. Not because we're trying to impress anybody, not because we're trying to show somebody something, but simply because we've become more and more like Christ. And therefore we look and sound and act more like Christ. Not because we're putting on the mask of Christ, but because we are molding ourselves into more and more Christ-like people from the inside out. My challenge this week is to call myself out when I find myself in the midst of hypocrisy. And in order for me to do that, I have to be looking for it. I have to keep that confession in front of me. You know, you are a hypocrite sometimes. You better look for that. And when you see it, you better fix it. My challenge is to be more Christ-like, not in appearance, but in heart and in mind and in spirit. I hope that's a challenge that you also will embrace. Here's the tough part. We're not always going to get it right. We will never, in all likelihood, ever overcome the challenge of hypocrisy. We're always going to have those moments where we fail. But let's just start working in that direction. Let's just, now that we've seen the problem, let's start looking at ourselves more realistically in that spiritual mirror and making the adjustments that we can and should make in order that the outward person that people see is the person that they should see in the likeness of Christ. That's a lesson for myself. It's a lesson for you this week. I hope you will embrace it, as I'm going to struggle to do as well.